Backstage at Bonnaroo, I'm Kiefer, speaking with John from Portugal the Man. Thanks for swinging by, John.
No problem.
Of all the bands that talk about their Bonnaroo experience, I think you guys really kind of top it. Tell me how you wound up riding around a Cadillac with Neil Young.
Oh, man. So my birthday has been during Bonnaroo the first two times we played. I mean, the first time we played being the craziest experience of our musical career up until that point. It was our first big festival, I mean, open air festival, tons of people there. I mean, my birthday on top of everything. It was just intense. We never expected to play Bonnaroo. We never expected to play Coachella. We never expected to play these festivals, you know? It's just a thing that we grew into. And you don't really see that stuff coming as well. We were terrified, so nervous stepping out there, and it ended up being, I mean, to this day, probably the most fun I've ever had at a festival. It was just such a cool experience. So 2 years later, we come back. It was my birthday again, and I saw Buffalo Springfield is playing, and Craig Kalman, who is the head of Atlantic Records, he and Neil Young are friends. And I just thought this was the time I'd hit him up. Yeah, hey, Craig, you know Neil Young's here. And my birthday's tomorrow. So if you could hook us up, it'd be cool. And we ended up, Zach and I got up at like 8 in the morning. We went over to Neil Young's bus. I mean, it connected like immediately. I mean, he called Neil and set up the whole thing. So we went over there in the morning. We showed up and I saw a cooler that said Palmer, Alaska on it, and it's like this really small town right next to Wasilla. That's the valley where we grew up. And I asked whose it was, and it ends up being this Neil Young's personal chef is from Palmer, Alaska. And it just set up the whole day. I mean, when Neil got off the bus, he was just like, Alaska boys, I love them. Came out, had us get in his car. We listened to Aretha Franklin. We listened to Otis Redding. I mean, we listened to a lot of music, but he put on Led Zeppelin at one point, and it's just Zach and I sitting in Neil Young's Cadillac with him, and he's headbanging. I mean, he's like crazy headbanging too. It was a situation that was so surreal. I mean, you didn't know what to do. I mean, I wouldn't know what to do in that situation now, having experienced it. Going back, what do? You don't headbang with Neil Young, but you kind of want to. I mean, it becomes like this Wayne's World moment. And it was just amazing. I mean, that's the type of thing that happens at Bonnaroo. I mean, it's the only place where I could really see that going down.
You know, it seems a festival that has that vibe. So the new record is called Evil Friends. And you say the term evil friend was around during the recording and influenced everything. How'd that happen? How did it influence everything?
So I'm going to be straight up on the Evil Friends title. I got a call probably a month after album artwork was due. Everything has been due for over a month. And I got on this conference call. And this is not the most rock and roll thing. Like, I'm on a conference call with everybody. They're going, man, what's the album title? What's the album title? And people are throwing out ideas. And I'm just like, okay, everybody, stop. It's Evil Friends. That's the name of the record. And I really just threw it out to just end the conversation. You know, we're done with this. Like, the lyric had been there. It had been with the record for such a long time that those two words were just in my head when we were talking, and I just threw it out there. And, I mean, Zach and Kyle are sitting next to me, and they both turned and looked at me when I said it. They're like, is that the name of the record, really? That's what we're going to go with? That's it? It's like, yeah, man, that's it. Let's get that done with. I mean, it's a funny thing. Like, my process when I write, I'll have one line that I try it out on every track. And it's whenever we have a good melody, I'll just start like throwing it around on different tracks. And I think it's hard for people to accept. Even Brian, who is Danger Mouse, I think at one point was like, man, you got more lyrics than this? Like, it was the chorus of Evil Friends and the bridge of Creep in a T-shirt. Ended up, I mean, maintaining that lyric that held it in there. But that lyric was on everything. The chorus of Evil Friends was the chorus of Purple, Yellow, Red, and Blue, and every other track on the record. I mean, that's where Evil Friends kind of came from. It wasn't necessarily like any person in particular. It's just there.
Well, you mentioned Danger Mouse. He produces the record. You know, what did he bring to the ceremony, as it were?
Danger Mouse, or Brian, as you get to know him when you meet. He's just a really great producer. I've seen interviews with the Black Keys, and they talk about him like he's the third member of the Black Keys, and I would totally agree with that. He is a member of the band, much the same as George Martin and the Beatles, and Tony Visconti and David Bowie, and Tony Visconti and Mark Bolan. He'll get up and he'll play something if it's necessary. If he hears it, he'll play it. If it's not good enough, he'll tell you, and he will tell you right away, because that's what a good producer does. And it's actually the most difficult part of being a producer, is knowing and just believing in yourself to this extent that is, no man, that's not good enough. I don't care if you're standing by it. This is not good enough. I've heard you do better. I think that's the amazing thing about him as a producer. I mean, it's some heavy dudes that he holds as company. I mean, that's serious, though. He's got great taste. I don't think he's a bag of tricks. I mean, you see him work and you realize, man, he didn't use my guitar on the last record. He didn't use my amp on the last record, but he has this thing about him, and people want to pigeonhole it and they want to associate it with this like drum tone or this guitar fuzz or whatever, but it's not necessarily that. It's his taste. He's just got good taste. He wants good songs, and that's that.
This year at Bonnaroo, we're talking about album art. We've got the Satanic Satanist up on the wall. Tell us a little bit about the cover. It looks like a really strange dream.
It does, doesn't it?
Who designed, who came up with the idea for the record?
So I do all the artwork with my friend Austin Sellers. He's our graphic designer. He puts everything together. I'm the scatterbrain that leaves drawings around, and our manager and Austin will scoop it up as quick as they can before I step on it, or, you know, paint to the point of it's just ruined, which I tend to do. I'll either give something away or I'll ruin it. And it's kind of a self-sabotage, you know. God forbid I ever have to do an art show and actually have to, like, present pieces. I mean, they tried to set up something for us a while back, and I sabotaged it. I mean, to get off that, move on to the artwork. When I put together the layout for Satanic Satanist, I had drawn this whole big folding piece, and I was telling everybody what it was going to be. I was like, you know, it just folds in. It's ridiculous artist talk. I mean, it's scatterbrained. It's, yeah, it folds like this. And people are going, man, you can't do that. That doesn't work. And eventually, Austin and I just sat down. I drew out the whole piece. What is the finished artwork? I drew out the whole thing and said, that's the shape of the CD. And he just took it in, and he and I did a bunch of watercolors, and it came together really cool. This is actually what we're looking at right now, is Majestic Majesty, which is the counterpart to Satanic Satanist. And Majestic Majesty is our nod to the White Album, and also to her Satanic Majesty's Request, or whatever.
Yeah, the Rolling Stones.
Or whatever that album is. I mean, that's an album with amazing artwork. I had no idea. Not a Stones fan. I mean, I just wasn't growing up. And I became one later. And it was actually after I had put together the Satanic Satanist. The Majestic Majesty is just the counterpart. So it's free of any colors and everything. Art is fun. Art?
We're also asking people to pick out their favorite Beatles album cover. I listen to Portugal the Man, and I think I hear some, you know, some Beatlesque moments in your music.
Definitely borrowed from the Beatles quite a bit. Borrow. I mean, we steal. Steal it. That's stolen. That's ours now. As far as the Beatles artwork go, I honestly think Revolver is probably the coolest looking to me. But really thinking about it, the White Album is so perfect. It's this double disc, Helter Skelter, Your Blues. I mean, heavy, heavy album. Nothing on the cover. I mean, just straight up. I think that's the coolest thing you can do. Like, who does that? They did it. Now everybody does it. So, got to give it to them.
Speaking with John from Portugal the Man, the new album is called Evil Friends. John, appreciate you coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And that is it. Backstage at Bonnaroo.